Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 80 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and Johnny Stofko is with me.
Hope everyone listening is having a good day. Tristan, first and foremost, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, brother. Yourself?
Good, man. You know, it's the end of the week, our time. We don't shoot these live, unfortunately. One day we'll get to that level. Yeah. So we got to shoot Tim Robards, actually, in person at his house. He was kind enough to invite us in, man. So yeah. It was a really cool experience.
Absolutely. We've been speaking about that lately, about kind of that in-person experience. And hopefully that's something that we can kind of develop as we get going. Like, I know that a lot of people enjoy our Skype and phone interviews, and we do as well. We get to speak to people that, you know, we grew up idolizing at the same time, even people that inspire us now to be better in our own lives every week.
Yeah? Of course. I feel also through more experience and more interviews, there's so many different layers to like adjustments we would have to make. So like when we first did Hoist Gracie, we did Hoist live in an octagon, how nervous we were then compared to when we first did John Wayne Parr over the phone. It's just a different mindset.
Yeah.
Because equally is tough, though. I feel that there isn't one that's easier than the other. When you're in live, when you're face-to-face with a person, though, me personally, I feel it affects me that I'm forced or put in a position to bring my A-game a little bit more.
Well, I guess it's more like having a conversation. There's no referring to notes and stuff like that, so you can kind of flow off kind of what you... There's no preconceived ideas, if you get what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes we can, especially I reckon in our first 25 episodes, we had a fair idea kind of word for word what we wanted to say.
We had printouts. Guys, listen at home. Tristan Cannell, this dude's such a savage. Before, like, probably our first 20, 25.
Yeah, we had about 25 questions we had to ask, you know. Now it's like kind of we got to a stage where we just became intrigued and curious, so.
Yeah, you know what, let's give our fans and audience and friends some insight, because I've never asked you this question. So you would take time, at least an hour of your day, printing those questions out, researching what questions to ask each guest. Then you would print them out, and then we would both have a copy in front of us before we would interview that guest. Since that's no longer part of your process and you're constantly evolving, have you thought about it this way? What certain step have you infiltrated or started doing instead of that process that's allowing you to become a better interviewer?
I think better for our audience, what I like to do is listen to two or three of their like last kind of interviews.
Okay.
So then if they go back, because what I'm trying to find here is, you know, once we interview someone, I want them to think so highly of that person that they go back and listen to all the other stuff. So, but what I do want is our questions not to be other people's questions.
Yes.
So I have a fair idea of what other people have already asked them. And at the same time, probably the number one rule is kind of just find out as much as possible about that person. Like for me, I always do have a fair idea of what they've accomplished, and I follow them for a fair bit of time. But it's always, when you go back and look at the nitty-gritty, sometimes you do find out a few different things that you can bring to the table.
I feel that's the biggest part of that is you taking a lot of pride and having integrity in your preparation. But if there's people out there listening at home, for instance, I'm helping a couple guys. Everybody, you know, they're all – a couple of the dudes I know want to start a podcast, so I'm giving them advice.
Yeah.
When it comes, though, to, you know, you do your due diligence on the guest, what's your headspace of that mental checklist that you take yourself through to ensure that you're not asking a repetitive question? Is there something like a little trick that you use, or is there a system that you have?
To be honest, for me, I think it's just about being curious in the person. I think curiosity brings out the best in the actual person that you do interview, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings and we love speaking about ourselves. It doesn't matter who you are. Your number one thing is, I think there was something, I think it was a study about hearing your own name.
Yes.
Is that right?
Well, the one that...
Something like that?
Well, that was an auditory study. I was actually talking to you, I don't know if you're referencing this study, but seeing your own face.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're connected, but they did the study that, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the one that I'm familiar with is in a crowded room of 100 people or more, they say 90% of us wouldn't recognize our own self walking into that room. And that whole study showcases and highlights perception and how we perceive the world, and what you see in the mirror is different from what people see in you, whether it's what you're exuding out, what you're keeping back. It's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, so with the auditory one, though, it sounds similar.
What about yourself, man? What do you think you've changed from the start?
Just being more comfortable and being confident as well. we kind of, the beautiful part about the Vision Board podcast is that you and I just dove into deep waters right away. It reminds me of the camel quote. If you're
I've still got my floaties on.
Yeah, if you're falling, dive. The biggest, the main important, you know, bit of advice here is to get started. So what I'm learning is things such as not wasting words, being more efficient with my delivery. Sometimes I would get really rattled or nervous and I would kind of stumble a little bit.
Yeah.
So just confidence in the delivery, confidence that we're delivering the highest valuable product for our friends, guests, and our fans, because at the end of the day, we started this to help people, and that is still my biggest concern. Like, I want to help people on a mass scale.
Yeah.
And if that's through, maybe we could have, say we do 1,000 interviews and there's one person who hears one interview, and in that interview, the guest or you or myself gave a bit of advice that that person who's listening for the first time could use applicably, and that helps them in their life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning that we could do here.
Yeah, definitely, guys. And it's all about kind of, you know, it's a team sort of game. So it's not just about me and Johnny. You know, we want to bring you content that you guys can share with your people, and it can make a difference in everyone's life. So I just want to have a quick shout out. We've got a guy, Marcos
Hurtado.
Hurtado, who just, you know, we speak to him, you know, now quite regularly. He sent us a message the other day, and it was great to hear from him and to find out that he's getting a lot from this show. Like, his first show that he listened to was Elliot Hulse, and it's great. You know, he's been tuning in ever since, and we really appreciate the people that get in touch. So, guys, we're always open to hear from you. So either send us a message online on the Facebook or Twitter or Snappy or
I'm glad you brought him up, because I was going to bring him up as well, because that's us. Tristan and I both run our pages. If you want to get a hold of us, the most efficient way, you know, you find me, Johnny Stofko, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Tristan's on Instagram and Facebook, Tristan Cannell. And then the Vision Board podcast is our collective baby, per se. You know, we've grown this from scratch.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, iTunes, and pretty much we both collectively use our Instagrams to promote the show as well.
Yeah, we've seen a few iTunes reviews coming through. So, guys, you know, we appreciate that. You know, that's how we grow and we get found out in the charts and more organic growth with other people, and they can find out about the show. So, guys, if you can, definitely keep that in mind. If you've got a little bit of time, just jump on iTunes and, yeah, continue to leave us those reviews, because we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and speaking with curiosity, which you aforementioned a little bit back, with Tim Robards, our guest coming up, man, excuse me, I moved to Sydney about 3 years ago, and this guy was all over the TVs. So, America, if you're listening at home, he is equivalent to maybe Jesse Palmer was.
You know, so, they have a bachelor in America?
Yes. And yeah. Jesse Palmer was an American quarterback for the Giants, and I think he was one of the first ones. And Tim Robards, he's not just a, you know, I only know him as a TV celebrity, but this guy has multiple degrees. He's a chiropractor, runs multiple businesses. And, I mean, he was just on the cover of Men's Health, one of the largest magazines internationally. Not even, you know, not to be outdone though by his partner and Anna, and she's also equally a savage. She was just on her own
magazine. She was on cover as well, yeah.
And shout out to her too. We were a little bit early for this interview, so she let us in. You know, they welcomed us into their humble abode, and we got to share the space in person with Tim Robards and Anna for a little bit. It was really an awesome experience.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So before we get Tim on, just also a big shout out to our sponsors. We've got On It First. We've got a few people, you know, asking us for advice about that. Lord Shanahan.
Lord Shanahan is Benny. My man, if you're listening at home, man. Keep working hard. I saw your post last night on Instagram. You're on the rower. Man, it's those hours where nobody is watching, where everybody else is either sitting at home drinking, eating bad foods, and you're training, and that's going to get you to the next level. So keep it up, Lord Shanahan.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So get that. I think he ordered the Shroom Tech. I'll let him know about Alpha Brain, because it's helped me heaps. And, you know, I'm using the Dolce Way.
Yeah, I'm rocking the green On It shirt right now.
Yeah, we've got the Buffalo, mate, the Buffalo bars. Bars are the best.
Yeah, go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/on it. You could go to the sponsor page on our page and see all the products that they offer, everything from the supplements, like Tristan mentioned, to merchandise, to clothes, to training tools, stories about the products. When you're checking, going through the checkout, use keyword Vision Board to receive 10% off of all of your purchases.
Yeah, and the other one, guys, we've got a free ebook on our website. So, you know, in Australia, we're going into summer. Americans are going into winter, but that doesn't matter. We want abs year-round.
That's when the work starts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a little ebook that me and Johnny put together of our routine, our weekly routine, and it's also got a bit of a sample meal diet. So it's a free download on the website. You can either get it on the homepage at, like Johnny said, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com, or you can also have a tab there, ebook, and you'll be able to download it. It will go straight to your email.
Takes 10 seconds. Click on it. Put your email and we'll send it straight to you.
Yeah, definitely. If there's any been anyone that has signed up, I know there was a couple of people that sent us emails saying that there was a couple of technical issues. If that is you, just send us a quick email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. I'll send the ebook straight to you.
Also, be sure to check your junk folder. Sometimes if you're corresponding with a business for the first time with an info preface, sometimes it doesn't recognize it as a legit address. Yeah. Initially, it'll go straight to the junk box. So that might be the case as well.
It's not to say it's junk. It's just
It's the business, man. That's that good, good.
Yeah. Junk mail is getting out of control, you know.
Oh, dude.
Some of the junk mail I get, it should not even be.
For real, man. They should have some type of... You're telling me...
They're telling me I need a penis pump. I'm going...
Oh!
How dare you?
It's about time we address the elephant in the room. So, Trista Cannell, tell me what you really don't like about your job.
At least offer me a discount.
Yeah, man, can I get something? I don't know, do you got them in extra colors or something? I don't know, like a scratch and sniff? We've gone dark.
We have.
Yeah, all buddy, right, literally dark. We have.
We were to get this.
Our light went out, guys. So we're in our office room, and I have my iPhone spreading luminosity. Oh, that's a word.
All right, we've got to get this back on track.
Tim Robards.
Guys, enjoy Tim Robards.
Episode 80.
Yeah, our special guest is Dr. Tim Robards. Tim, a talented chiropractor, TV personality. He's been in The Bachelor. He's a speaker, highly regarded educator in the health, fitness, and business world. We welcome Tim Robards. Tim, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Always love a nice intro like that.
Tristan has really mastered the introductions. Also, guys listening at home, Tim was kind enough to welcome us into his home. So we're sitting in the kitchen front room. Bondi Beach is in the background. It's a beautiful space.
My girlfriend just stepped out of the show. running past with a towel around.
All of that. Very visual. But for our listeners who are American, I know they definitely know what The Bachelor is. All the other things that you're doing, could you kind of talk a little bit about to our fans? I'm sure the Australian audience, everyone knows who Tim Robards is. But to the Americans who might not know who you are, could you give a little bit of background of what you're doing and where you come from?
Yeah, so I guess before I got into, the real TV space with The Batch was 3 years ago. But before that, I was a sports chiropractor, still am, and have always been interested in health and fitness and helping other people become, just really thriving in their environment. And whether that's, from a fitness base and that's their goals, or whether their goals are, climbing the corporate ladder, but trying to show them how you can use health and fitness and the discipline and determination that comes with that to kind of help other aspects of their life. So yeah, that's my background and what I try and do every day, is just to keep inspiring people and inspiring them to use health and fitness to get there.
What was one of the toughest things? So my roommate is first year chiro.
Yep.
And he's working for one of the AFL teams locally, and every time I see him, he's super drained, super stressed out, because he's learning a new language. Yep. If you could take yourself back to when you first started practicing and helping people, could you talk a little bit about the things that worked for you in getting through those tough times of learning the new language of being in chiro?
Yeah. So, I went through a couple of different degrees. So my first degree out of university, I actually loved physics. And I loved physics hated chemistry. And in mind biology, but physics for me, it just explains everything. It takes everything back to its minimal state, whether you're looking at electrons, photons, protons, whatever, it takes it all back to that minimal state. And then you can kind of, if you use a formula, you can then kind of get anywhere in life. You can kind of work stuff out if you know the formula to it. So I loved knowing the formulas, and then wherever I was in my life or whatever, you might need to know the how much water you're going to put in your pool or whatever. It's a simple physics sort of situation, but then other complicated ones, it kind of transforms, and I use that throughout my life. So knowing the formula, inserting it, and then putting the elements in there and trying to work out how do I get a result. So I've done that throughout my life. My first degree was in photonics, which is fiber optics and laser design. So I was doing the hardest maths and physics out there, and whilst I was doing that, I was just supplementing it with some income as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And my love for kind of helping people started really then, and I wanted to take that further, so I went and did a degree in exercise science and rehab. Finished the exercise science part, went on to medical science, and then on to chiropractic. So throughout that whole time, I kept using the, you know, what kind of formulas do I need to know? The boys used to always laugh. They'd say, you know, they used to call the robots method where less is more. So I was very efficient at doing the minimal amount of work, but to get the maximum amount of results.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't sit there and rote learn things. I hardly went to lectures. I would just understand the fundamentals. So if someone asked me a question, I could use them to get to the answer rather than just rope learning the answers.
Yep.
So the only time that you really just have to rope learn the answers is like things like when I was doing all your neuroscience. And that's a different, you know, learning the parts of the brain. There is no way you can work your way there because they're just weird names like cingulate gyrus and the corpus callosum, like it's just random stuff. So that's probably the hardest one where I used to put bits, I'd write the names down, all over bits of paper, stick them all around the house, on the back of the shower door, over the mirror. So every morning while I'm brushing my teeth, while I'm showering, I'm just going through these names. Yeah. It's like that's the new language. Whereas everything else, understand the fundamentals and work your way there.
Yeah. So is this all back in Newcastle still?
So Newcastle was the first degree. Then I moved to Wollongong.
Yep.
And did the exercise science, rehab and medical science. Then I moved to Sydney and did another 3 years. So 9 years all up and did the master's in chiropractic.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah.
How do you fit it all in now? Because you've got your Robards methods. Are you still practicing chiropractic?
Yep. So practicing less, like I used to do sort of 30, 40 hours a week, like hands on. Yep. And then everything that comes on top of that. Now I've halved that and I balance it out now with the Robards method. So with my program, and there's a whole that's a huge thing in itself. So that's you know, creating the app, the technology behind it, bringing out what's in my head and converting it into an app and an online program.
Yeah.
Then there's just so much content creation. So I've had to become really good at creating content, videoing, which I love. I love that creative aspect of filming, videoing, editing. Bringing something that's inspirational because so many people access that through their phone or through, you know, media.
Yeah.
So trying to convert what you're trying to do through those different mediums. And then I'm always writing content. I write for news.com. So a balance of different things.
Which one do you enjoy more, the writing or the videos?
You know, it's funny. The thing, you know, they say, I always encourage people to look at what their values are, what they enjoy, and sometimes define what your values are. What are the things you're doing where you don't feel like you're working? You know, the things you're doing where you get carried away for an hour or two and you look back and you go, holy crap, I've just, you know, spent 2 hours doing this.
Do you sometimes find, because what I find is sometimes the stuff that I do for free, I think you might as well, is sometimes the things you enjoy the most.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah.
All that creativity stuff, you with your videos, sometimes me with my writing.
Yeah.
Like you, I'm an editor as well, so yep. I kind of love that sort of
aspect. I'll sit there and be editing and I'll show Anna little videos I've made.
We're all proud and stuff.
Yeah, we're all proud. I'm like, look what I did here. You know, I love that. And I think if you do what you love, you'll probably end up doing something really great that other people will enjoy and then possibly eventually pay you for.
For sure. It's definitely important too. One of my favorite, he passed away in the 90s, but one of my favorite books by Terrence McKenna, and McKenna, awesome quote in it, he talks about our duty as human beings is to create culture, not consume culture. And I think that's where the fulfillment comes up, actually knowing that even there, and there isn't like the scale system. I guess when I was younger, I used to feel that creating something needed to be on this massive scale that everybody had to know about. And if it wasn't on that level, maybe it was a failure. But at the end of the day, I think the point and the important part is, like you aforementioned, Tim, identify your strengths, go from there, and then that's where you'll find definitely your true bliss.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about all the titles, the path that you've created, being on the show, helping people with the Robards method, that's your brand. Could you talk about to the person who maybe is a coach and their mindset might just be, we'll say, powerlifting? And they, you know, everyone listening at home who are coaches or don't know powerlifting, it could be, you know, it's structural.
Mm.
Very simple, not complex. Is the Robards method a fitness routine that we're able to apply to a person of from 1 to 10 in terms of skill set, experience in the gym, former athlete, non-injury? And could you talk about it, if it is and what it is?
Yeah. So it basically came about with the knowledge that I'd had as an exercise scientist when I started, and then as a chiropractor in the biomechanical knowledge, and that's where all the physics that I used to do, pulling into that biomechanical side of things, now the neurological side. So I've identifying, I always have people coming in, I have a lot of powerlifters coming, CrossFitters, all these people coming in with different injuries. And when you observe what their body's doing and what it's lacking, that's where it's a lot of mobility, flexibility, and a lot of guys that like they love lifting big, they love the powerlifting, they love hitting goals like that. But the thing that limits them a lot of the time is their functionality, their mobility. So what I've done with the program is there is a big emphasis on, and I've, like I said this morning, I just come back from doing yoga myself.
Yeah.
There's a big emphasis on some of the moves, like the specific ones I get from yoga that I think are the best. So I've kind of nailed down the top kind of almost 20, 30 moves. Stretches, mobility, mobilizations, and put them in there. So big emphasis on that, but also using rings and body weighted exercises. So for me, if you can't control your own body weight, then there's no point going too hard into then picking up a huge weight. So I think if you can control and master your own body weight first, then going on to, or at least using that to supplement your powerlifting and those sort of things,
yeah.
I think can be... I know a lot of guys that are actually doing really well with it do some calisthenics and bodyweighted gymnastics types of moves to supplement it. And as soon as you go from doing powerlifting moves to that sort of stuff, you'll either find you're really good at it or you'll go, holy crap, like I can't even... You know, I can't do a simple move in the calisthenics world. But once you master that, you go back to your powerlifting. So I'd gone from... I hadn't bench pressed for probably 2 years and... I was doing just simple rings, doing a reverse fly. So forward, I was in the push-up position and forward, and that maintaining straight arms and down into that wide open chest puts a lot of strain through the shoulders. You got to have a lot of joint stability, so it's not as simple as just brute push pull in like a single dimension. It's you've got all that instability, so many different dimensions, and. Turning when I went back, I did a session with my little brother. So my little brother's 11 years younger, and he's kind of injured. He's a smaller frame, but he's putting some muscle on. He's strong. So I went back, and you know, he's 11 years my junior, and we went back, and I thought, oh, I'll jump on the bench press. You know, he's doing all the standard weights, you know, like I did back then, and jumped on. And mate, I threw on a weight. I hadn't done this weight since I was his age, about 21.
Yeah.
So I threw the weight on, and I was like, holy hell. That was not that bad, and I haven't actually helped like bench press for 2 years. So it's interesting to see how that strength and stability can transfer into your other training.
Definitely. What made you change the way you train?
I think a few things. One, a little bit of boredom.
Yeah.
A little bit of boredom, but then as I started probably doing a bit more yoga, I realized I could just see how stiff and tight I was, and I actually enjoyed learning. Going, hang on, there's like, you know, there's girls in this class that are like killing it. And as a guy, you think, you know, I'd have to be stronger than a girl. Yeah. But you know, there were girls out there doing handstands, and I'm falling all over the place. They're doing these holds, and I'm just like, what's going on? So that was probably one of the things that I started to go, hang on, I'm really actually lacking a lot of mobility, flexibility, and strength in those positions. So having strength in a position where you're at end range, that's the kind of difference.
Yeah, maybe actually, what I want to ask you, you're speaking about mobility quite a bit. Maybe for the listeners out there, maybe for an office worker, someone that sits down a lot, tight hip flexors, tight quads.
Yep.
What, just off the bat, what sort of advice would you kind of offer someone like that?
Two things. One big thing that I see with most people, we end up sitting into a C curve. You know, we roll back onto our pelvis, onto our sacrum, and then our whole back rounds out and our head goes forward. So we get stuck in this kind of like our ears go forward of our chest. So the answer to that is not to just chest. Go, oh, sit up straight.
Yeah.
Because gravity is trying to push you back down again. The trick is to rotate your pelvis forward, just as if you were standing, get your knees lower than your hips. So instead of sitting at 90 degrees at the hips, 90 degrees at the knee, in that position, our pelvis wants to roll back. So if you move forward on the seat a little and drop your knees down like you're sitting on a horse. So if you think of someone sitting on a horse, usually if you look side on, the hips are higher than the knees. They sort of come down like a bit of a zigzag. And their back is usually up nice and straight. And if they're kind of galloping away, that's a nice strong position for their back. If they sat with their knees up really high at the level of the pelvis and went galloping, their lower back's going to be screwed and their head's going to be forward. So the biggest thing, if you can change that, you'll change the whole rest of your body. Because we sit so long in that position, it's the slow creep that's sometimes worse for us than a sudden injury. So that's one thing. And the other thing is a wall angel. Look up a wall angel. It's one of the best exercises to combat the sitting position. So all you need is a wall. You can do it on the floor as well. But all you need is a wall. it's a bit of a, I can't really demonstrate it now, but look it up, Google it, and yeah, it's one of the best. Yeah. I'd like to do 3 lots of 8 of the Wall Angel, nice controlled, and it just wakes you up. And yeah.
Have you read, are you familiar with Dr. Kelly Starrett?
No.
Mobility Wad? No. So he wrote a bestseller, he has a bestseller out right now called Becoming a Supple Leopard.
Okay.
And he's all about mobility and what you're speaking about. And he invented created this chair, and he's going with this big movement in America right now to get him into schools and offices to where it's like a vertical desk. Mm-hmm. So I've never used one or seen one, but I'm pretty sure you're mimicking standing up.
Yeah.
But you have some sort of support system for the lower spinal column, I think the elbows.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the way you're thinking, it reminded me of the whole Starrett movement.
Yeah, because they own CrossFit San Francisco, so it's one of the big CrossFits over there. But
yeah, he's partnered up.
Did mention, so they've got a 9-year-old daughter, so they experimented with standing desks for the kids at school because the obesity problem over there is huge.
Yeah,
and what they've found is like all the kids, because they're using these desks, are just they're pretty much the leanest class in America.
They've correlated
crazy numbers.
They've correlated the static positioning with overall fitness. I wanted to ask you too, Tris and I are both coaches, a question I always get asked, it seems like the common question with people who are flirting with an idea of getting healthy or in a routine but still trying to figure out those gaps. You're in amazing shape. If we had the video for this, everyone at home knows what Robards looks like. What did you eat? What's the first thing you eat in the mornings? Everyone's like, Johnny, what do I have for breakfast? And I say like, dude, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. So I like asking guys like yourself, what are you eating the first thing in the morning?
I do a bit of intermittent fasting,
okay.
Or a lot of intermittent fasting, actually. So the first thing I eat in the morning is generally nothing, a glass of water. I'll have a coffee, and I kind of mix it up between, say, a long black with a bit of cream, or I'll do just cappuccino. I'll go full cream now, full fat. I used to go skim, but I'm sort of on the full fat. So what the intention behind that is, you have your meal at night. Your insulin spiked, and overnight it comes down. Your glucagon, the hormone that enables you to release the fat stores from your body and use them as energy, goes up slowly as you get to the morning. So in the morning, you're at a point where your insulin's probably lower. Insulin makes you store. Glucagon makes you release your fats and use it as energy. So your insulin's low, glucagon's high in the morning. So when you talk about breakfast, breakfast means break fast. You're just breaking your fast. We all fast during the night. So, you don't necessarily have to break fast first thing in the morning. A lot of people have in their mind that they need energy for the rest of the day. Now, you have plenty in your body if you have the right hormones to access it. So, if you're a person who eats a lot of sugar, a lot of carbs, the standard diet, I would not suggest it, because you're actually going to be having those highs and lows, and you're actually probably going to really struggle. If you start to take on a real food diet with real whole food and, good quality fats, good quality proteins, lots of veggies, not fruit in the whole form, not in fruit juices, then you're more likely to have sustained, you'll balance out your insulin levels, you'll potentially decrease the chance of things like diabetes, heart disease, all that sort of stuff. But I just feel so much better doing it throughout the day. I used to get to, when I'd be at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the clinic, I'd start to get like a bit, I'd be like, I need a mocha, or I need like coffee and chocolate, need caffeine or whatever. But now, I just power through, I feel great. I'm eating probably generally less but more nutrient dense food. So I have my breakfast at about 11, 12, 1 o'clock, somewhere around then. And that'll be, good, healthy, like some poached eggs, spinach, mushies, maybe some bacon sometimes.
Yeah.
Depends where I go. I might have a bit of sourdough every second day. I'm not full paleo or anything. I eat things. I just keep everything in balance. I follow my 7-2-1 meal plan. And yeah, I think for me, it's just, I find I feel better like that. I eat in a kind of 9-hour window.
We hope you're enjoying the interview with Tim Robards. Be sure to check out our other episodes with the likes of Rich Roll, Sean Stevenson, Bedros Koulian, and Evander Holyfield. Please subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And please leave us a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you, some of the boys at the gym brought that up to me. when I put on my social media account that we were going to be talking to you.
Yeah.
For the ones listening at home, could you explain what 721 is?
Yeah, so 721 is basically the, it's kind of like my formula. We come back to formulas.
Good.
Formulas.
Physics, get, man. I see the way you think.
Yep. Exactly. Einstein, I think he stumbled over this, but then he moved on and worked and found E equals MC squared.
Yeah.
this one he forgot about. So 721. So basically I eat 70% whole foods.
Yep.
So minimalize, nothing really out of a packet, you know, nothing with a food label on it, just whole foods. So that's, and cook them up however I want. That's 70% of my diet. So if you break, and then 20% sensible, 10% relaxed. So if you break it down, and we go 21 meals over a week,
yep.
So 3 meals a day, 21 meals. That means 15 meals will be whole foods. 4 of those meals will be sensible. What I say, when I say sensible, that may be if you want to have your pizza or your spaghetti bolognese, things like that. I always use that as an example, but it's being sensible about the ingredients. So you might be able to just, instead of just having meat and pasta,
yeah,
throw in some steamed veggies on the side. Maybe half the pasta with some zucchini noodles. You don't have to go all out and just have zucchini noodles, but that would be the 70%, the 70% super clean.
Mm.
But for the 20%, just add a little bit of that other stuff in so you can balance that meal out. Or if you're making pizza, be smarter about your base. Throw in your own toppings. You know,
more
be
veggies
smart.
On top,
yeah,
and stuff like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
You know, and just to balance that out. And then the 10% is relaxed. So I went to Anna's mum's place last night and had dinner. She had an awesome dessert.
Yeah.
You know, and I just go for it. You know, it's not a total gluttony. Pig out, but like I don't hold back. I enjoy it. I don't feel guilty about it, and it's 10%. So that might be if you like numbers on it, you know, that's 2 meals a week, or break it down in a ratio like that with snacks and things too.
Yeah.
I think if you do that, that's sustainable. That's real. It's not really going to push you over the edge with things and unless you have certain intolerances, then I would say, you know, there's things you need to cut out. But all these diets and nutritional fads where you have to cut, people can't do it. When they can't sustain it, and when they fail, they feel really bad in themselves and they go through just all those periods of guilt. So this is kind of a non-guilty way of giving yourself, it's taking responsibility and not only leaving that relaxed bit to 10%, but it's then allowing yourself to do that without guilt.
Definitely. Looking at these magazines on the table, you and Anna, both back-to-back on Women's Health.
They weren't put there on purpose.
We should go Facebook Live right now. Yeah. Hey, guys, Tim and Anna, his partner,
you?
Both donning the covers of Men's and Women's Health.
My girlfriend naked.
The whole world is.
It is. They did the first naked edition for Anna's Women's Health, celebrating body confidence. In
yeah.
I think she's a great role model for that. And luckily, they covered her up on the cover.
Yeah, ESPN does that with their athletes once
a
year.
Yeah,
and they do it really
yeah.
well. And
yeah.
Women's Health has done a good job as well
yeah.
with, like you just said, having an intent for it and representing definitely something positive.
Definitely. Yeah. Just talk to us a little bit about the experience. Like, how long did it take to actually train for the cover? Did you train together?
Yeah, so it was just kind of funny that...
Jesus.
We're looking at it. Savage. My God, did you ever do any fighting?
I lose that one,
yeah. What are you weighing here?
Hey, I'm about 90, 91,
okay.
92.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like the funny thing, and the thing that I like that they wrote up in there is that they say, you know, normally when they ask a celebrity or whatever to do a cover, they've got to give them a month or two notice.
Mm.
And as they say in there, they go, we can call up Tim and he's ready to go anytime. So I don't fluctuate because
it's what we call a t-shirt ready.
Yeah. So it's in your head, you kind of think, oh, maybe, you know, or the last couple of days, I'll
yep.
just cut up and lead up a few carbs or whatever, you know. But, mate, my body's a reflection of my lifestyle. It's not something I do to maybe when I was 20 and I was trying to attract some girls, you know,
yeah.
I'd maybe do it more for an aesthetic purpose. You know, the aesthetic side of things is a nice added bonus, but I train now because of the way I feel, the way it makes me feel, and for function. And when I, you know, when I get to have a cover like this, when I see it, I kind of get cool. Like I'm when I look at that, yeah, I just like to feel good. I like to show some mobility, good posture,
yeah.
You know, all of that. And you can see when you get these guys that are really big, but they're all, their rotator cuff's tight, their shoulders are turned in, they're all, you know, so.
You're a good example for people out there, do you know what I mean? Like, you want people to be good posture, healthy, and, you know, vibrant, so.
Yeah, well, they talk about, there was an interesting thing the other day, well, just recently, they've been talking about fit shaming. And so that's basically fit people getting up there going, hey, if you're not as fit as me, you know, you should be doing better. You should be ashamed of yourself, type of thing. And when I look at that, I question it, you know, when I see that and I go, have I do I do that? Do I shame people because I'm on the cover of a magazine? Going, like, does that kind of make people feel like they should be like that? But the biggest thing I think, like, because the opposite of fit shaming is they say, you know, love yourself, love your body where it's at. But in saying that, if you have someone who is potentially, say, 200 kilos, and they've been letting themselves go, not looking after themselves, it is hard to all of a sudden just go, I love my body, because the way you've been treating it is not necessarily with love, unless you've got something random going on that is totally out of your control. But I think the biggest thing to start, if you're not looking like someone on a cover model, you know, someone on the cover of a magazine, start by doing things for your body that says and shows that you love it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you will actually potentially start to really love your body, not just say you love your body. Like, do things for it that show that you love it, just as you would if you had a pet that was sitting down and it was a bit, you know, it was down and mopey. What do you do to pep it up? You should do nice things for it.
Exactly.
Do exactly the same for your body, and then you'll start to love it. And I bet that your body will then start to look and resemble like a body that you would want to love.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel when you brought up earlier about the person, you know, fit shaming, maybe you have the guy who's on the cover and they look amazing. I think the difference with the guy, you being on the cover and you look amazing, is maybe the first guy is just on the cover because he looks amazing, and the second guy, yourself, you're actually helping people. So I think it's important, you know, it's all correlated with people who aren't at that stage yet need to know that it's about creating momentum, like day by day, focusing on yourself and understanding that there's a direct correlation, in my opinion, with how you feel and what you're going to do about it.
Yep.
And it could be really, really, I guess, heavy for some, because they might feel so lost. I've been there before. Hadn't trained in like for about 5 years, and it just seemed so. For me though, it was more like I could get back to it. Mm. You know, I was just putting it off. But the longer you put it off, the harder it's going to be to climb up that hill.
Yeah.
Were you ever at that stage? Did you ever kind of lose your path a little bit? Have you ever gone through? I'm talking like maybe some heavy adversity where you thought like, "Geez, man, I might not get to my full potential."
Yeah.
Gone through that, could you share with us maybe what helped you or who helped you get through it?
Yep. So yeah, actually just recently. One thing I will say quickly though on that, so I mean, there's a lot of people out there on the cover of magazines who look healthy but are not that happy.
Yeah.
Or they've been, you know, a lot of the people out there, you know, they've potentially been smashing diuretics, you know, pills to make them crap and, you know, everything just to get like to lean down. They're not necessarily, they might look alright on a cover of a magazine. So I just want to emphasize that focus on how you feel. Now back to adversity. You know, I'm slowly getting older. I'm 28 now. I'd been going through trying to be the inspiration for a lot of people. I'm always trying to push my limits and push myself in a good way, but always trying to push my limits and stay up there. So I was doing some training, doing some gymnastics training and trying some newer, harder moves. And I think a mixture of, I'd had a parasite and I'd tried to kill it naturally and didn't work. So I went on 3 antibiotics, and I normally wouldn't touch antibiotics, but I was kind of, you know, was told that this is the best way to go. So it's a course of 3 antibiotics altogether.
Jeez.
What I've since realized is that there is a big tie into tendon ruptures and tendon inflammatory reactions, so an autoimmune response that you can get from antibiotics. So not long after that, I was down on the bars and I was pushing it, and all of a sudden, snap, I tore my bicep off the bone. So that's got that little scar is there. So my bicep went and just ripped off the bone. And
I
was doing a back lever with pronated supinated hands. It's pretty full on. But it wasn't a jerky movement, it was slow and controlled, and it just went, it was just disgusting. And I dropped down, and at first I was like, oh, hopefully I've just strained something. And then I sat down and I started seeing grey, and then I was like, started seeing black, and I'm about to throw up. I'm like, nah, this is shock, and I've torn something. So, straight to the hospital. 3 days later in surgery. So for me, that was a point where I'm like, holy hell, like this could change everything I'm about. I love my calisthenics training. I love pushing it, always learning something new. You're always growing, always changing. I'm a chiropractor. I use my hands every day. My program, I need to be the face of it, all this stuff. I'm thinking, holy hell, how the hell am I going to do that with one arm? And so, like, at that night, I had to call up my boss I work with as a chiropractor and say, mate, I'm not coming in tomorrow or for probably another 4 months. And then call up everyone I work with and go, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to be out for a bit. So that was a big one. I thought, you know, things could turn and I could just go, shit, that's it, like, you know, for quite a while, and I'll probably never get back. I'll just, I don't know, just give up in a way. And yeah. But I used it to go, you know what, this is going to be a great challenge. I'm just going to take, other people have had a hell of a lot worse than me. So, you know, I'm going to use every day to the best of my ability and use every little challenge and just see how well I can throw myself into it. So simple things, you know, getting changed first, you know, washing yourself in the shower.
Yeah.
I was walking down the street and I stepped on my shoelace and my shoelace came undone. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'm down there and I'm trying to do it up with my arm in a sling, and I had to have some guy come over and do my shoelace up for me in the middle of the city.
How long ago was this?
This is only 6-7 months ago now.
Wow.
So yeah. So basically the healing rate for that is, like, I spoke to a couple of guys. One guy's like, man, I was doing a chin up after 6 months. Another guy said he was 18 months. So I did a lot of research, and I know from my sports car background and that, and I thought, you know what, you can't rush it because you need, the bone has to grip onto the tendon. So you drill a hole through the bone, Jesus,
yeah.
through your radius.
So you tore it this
yeah, the down very by the elbow.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
So they basically drill a hole through your radius, they pull the tendon down through, they stick a cuff link on the back of the tendon so it won't pull back through the big hole. So they drill the hole all the way through. And then they put a screw in, but he couldn't get the screw to secure. So mine, I didn't even have the screw. So he goes, look, be really careful with it. So I did, and every time I go, you'd have your checkup every couple of weeks with the surgeon. And I'd go, right, can I start rehab? And go, do nothing. Can I start rehab? Do nothing. But me, in my head, I'm like, look, that for the normal person who doesn't understand their body, do nothing is a safer way. But I thought, that's not me, because your whole shoulder, your core, everything goes to mush, not just your bicep. Mm. So I was doing everything I possibly could for all the rest of the muscles and the whole shoulder stability stabilizers that I could. And basically, long story short, I had probably one of the quickest turnarounds. I set myself a goal, so I'm going to do a chin-up after 3 months. So the first one, I hung and I was like...
How was it when you jumped back on the bar?
Pretty scary, because you feel good. Like, I felt good, and I'd slowly progressed it up to that. But... you know, it was only 6 weeks before that I could fully straighten my arm. It takes 6 weeks to actually be able to straighten your arm. Then I gave myself 6 weeks to actually pull my whole body weight up, and I'm 90 kilos now. So yeah, that's where I was there. And now 4 months after that, I'm kind of getting back there. So this shoot for this men's health cover was done probably 2 months after I could actually do a chin up.
Wow.
So I was very, like, my whole arm, you know, one side of me shrunk. When if you talk about it from an aesthetic point of view, I was half the man I used to be.
Wow. But I guess sometimes when a bad thing happens, sometimes something good happens out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the opportunity is definitely there. And I think that's the difference.
I trained more, and not necessarily harder, but I trained more and more regularly after the accident. I was into the gym every day with a sling on, doing whatever I could. I'd be on the elliptical, the cross trainer, did spin classes, just anything to keep my mind in the game. And
a lot of people talk about, you know, gratitude and things like that. Like, yep. How much more grateful were you when it all returned?
Yeah, I think this is a big thing, because when something's sort of taken away from you, I was just grateful that I still had one arm at least, and the thought of losing my ability to exercise and to look after my body and use it fully.
Yeah.
I was just so grateful that I knew it was going to come back. But there's people who, you know, lose their arms and lose it, you know. So, like, that for me was one of the big things that was, like, you really appreciate just having a body to work with, that you don't want to take that for granted. Too many of us just take, we're born with a pretty healthy body, and we put it in an environment that's not conducive to being healthy, whether it's sitting at a desk all day, you know, that environment has crap food in it, or whether you stress yourself out. So you've got to respect that you've been given a good, healthy body that has a pretty good ability to adapt to its environment. Just give it a good environment to live in.
Definitely. Talk to us, do you have any, like, non-negotiables in your day, something that you always have to do, no matter what?
I like spontaneity, so I'm not kind of... I used to be a bit more structured. Now I'm kind of all over the shop. I do like to do something that makes me sweat every day, ideally. Doesn't always happen, but, you know. But, yeah, something that makes me sweat. I just like to keep balance. If I've been a bit cheeky with my food in the morning, I'll try and clean it up by the afternoon, or vice versa. I just like to keep balance in my life. That's probably the biggest thing. If I find I've had a day that's way out of whack, I'll try and make time at the end of the day to do something. Whether if I've had a really stressful day, I've got to go, right, 10-minute Epsom salt bath or something like that. You know, just something just to balance it out. I hate going to bed if I'm really kind of lopsided in some aspect of my life.
Definitely. We've talked about adversity. We've talked about the highs and lows in your life. Now, let's just talk. This is going to be a single question about The Bachelor.
Yep.
Now, you met your love of life on The Bachelor.
Yep.
You've created an awesome profile out of it as well. Take us back before you actually even got on the show. Why did you even choose to go on?
Yeah, so initially, they actually called me up they emailed my work and said, I've got a new show coming along. We'd like to talk to Tim about it. And the first couple of times they contacted me, I was kind of like, oh yeah, you know what, I'll call you back, I'm busy at the moment. And part of me is like, you know, I think I could do it, but like, it's full on, you gotta break up with a girl on TV, you gotta have your first kiss on TV, like all that stuff. I'm like, I've always been a person that I kind of like to have people like me and not dislike me.
Yeah.
And to put yourself up on something like that, is you're really opening yourself up for, not everyone's going to gel with me and what I value, course, and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, they kept sort of hammering, going, come on, come in for the interview. And then finally they go, look, we'll come to your house for the interview. So I'm like, all right. So they came to my place, and then it kind of snowballed. They sat me in after that. We filmed for like an hour. I was just really sat back because I didn't really want to do it. I was really open, really honest. I went and sat in with the final. There were six people in front of me, and we had an interview. And I just sat back, and I had the attitude of, you know, you tell me why I should do it, kind of thing. Because I was just very open. I didn't try and sugarcoat anything. I didn't, you know, because I was like, if they really want me, they'll want me because of me, not because I'm trying to suck up their ass, and you know.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of snowballed. Next minute, they're like, right, producer wants a coffee with you, and then producer wants dinner with you, and then producer wants dessert with you, and then you sign a contract. So it snowballed. So for me, the biggest thing was the point where you go, you know what, I'm gonna have to do this and just own it. Like I spoke to my parents and my kind of rock I go to, and they said, look, probably what are the three things, if you're gonna go on the show, what are the three things you want to be? And I'm trying to remember that, but I think it was like honest, I want to have integrity and be down to earth and humorous.
Yeah.
So honest, down to earth and humorous. They're the things I have a sense of humor. And they're the three things I want to be able to show. And I said to the producer, is that going to come across? Is this going to be a show about drama? Or is this a show about two people falling in love?
Yeah.
And so my intention was to go in there. I said from the get-go, I'm not going in to marry someone or to like straight up or get engaged after 3 months. It isn't going to work. But I'm going in there with the intention to hopefully fall in love with someone, and then after the show, see where that takes me.
Yeah.
So I think setting a good intention, owning it, and going, you know what, like I can't control what everyone thinks. I'm just going to be myself and own that and be the best person I can be. And that when you put yourself in the spotlight, it does force you to do that in a way, which is not a bad thing. Like you step out, if I go down the beach, there's paparazzi down there, you can't necessarily walk out in your trackies, but in a way it's not such a bad thing because it does force you to just to step up your game a little bit all the time. And you know, I kind of like that. So yeah, so I'm not at the level of a big A-grade celebrity where you can't step out literally your front door every moment, but
I don't know if you would want that.
When it's all done, did you ever watch the show back? Or
Yeah, it was great because, I couldn't be with Anna for the first 10 weeks, so while it's on air, like, you know, we used to have to, they'd sneak us away every couple of weeks to a undisclosed location.
We'd have
a bit of time together, but I'd have all my mates over and we would just be cracking up because you wouldn't know how they're going to
perceive you,
tie it together, how they're going to edit it together and stuff like that. And I wouldn't see a lot of the stuff that the girls are doing behind the scenes, so when I'm not with them, I don't see them. So when they're at the house and they're all talking and whether there's bitchiness or whatever, I don't see that. So it was so good being able to see that back and just see how they tie the story in together.
How many girls were there in the year?
There's 25 altogether.
Beautiful girls throwing themselves at you.
You say goodbye to five on the first night. They throw in. Like, originally, they're like, oh, we get 25 of the best girls from around the country. So I thought, it's pretty good odds that I'll meet someone.
So but you're then, voting him off, right?
Yeah, yeah. You,
that must have been tough.
You focus on who you keep in.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I realised they probably put 20 characters, big characters they think are great for TV, and then hope there's maybe like 10 you like or five.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd, you know. And then the other way around for the girls, like they're not 25 girls, they're not all going to like me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, part of that, the initial hard bit is trying, you've got 25 girls you have to impress. So as much as it looks like the pressure's on them, you've got 25 that have got to impress that you don't want to just all of a sudden go, hey, I'm going to walk. This guy's a bit of a douche.
Just even remembering 25 names is...
All right, there's tricks to that.
I'm sure.
A little pen in the pocket. And
for sure.
Going to wrap it up with a personality.
Yeah, Tim, so we're gonna leave you on this. We ask all of our guests on the Vision Board this one question. If Tim Robards was having a dinner party, you get to invite five guests. They could be dead or alive, but they can't be any of your family or friends. Who is Tim Robards inviting to dinner?
Ooh, I would like to... I'd say Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's probably into that a lot. He's just one, a charismatic character. Yeah, and he's just nailed it. Nailed it in so many different aspects of life.
Yep.
Well, I guess he probably shows that you don't have to be a specialty at just one thing. Like,
Or goal setting. He had one goal and just, catapulting.
Just keeps smashing. Momentum. So, whatever he does, I want some of that. But and then the one I see as the new Schwarzenegger is, say, The Rock.
I love The Rock.
The Rock. I think he seems fairly down to earth. He's killing it, like with the movie scene.
But his fitness, so many things. Yeah.
Do you watch Ballers?
I haven't seen that.
You've got to watch it. It's really good.
Check it out. Yeah. So I'd love to have The Rock. So there's two big guys. Mm. I'd have to have. We've got to balance it out with some females. I don't really know who I'd go there. Sorry, I've gone fitness, inspirational. One person actually, DeMartini, John DeMartini?
Yeah, Singularity University.
Yeah, or, so.
I think I might be
thinking of some coach, right?
He's a coach, right? Yeah. He's got a different way of looking at life. He's really interesting. I'd love to have him along.
Yep.
Yeah, big character.
We've reached out to him.
We have. He's a business coach. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
He's full on. He'd be great. He kind of has answers for everything.
Yeah.
Don't know if that will work. He's got an answer for everything.
It's good to be around those people, or I don't know, it could be a bad thing.
And then
that's still not a female.
Dude. I know.
You're a couple, man.
I mean, I'd have to have my girlfriend here.
No family or friends. Nope.
Can't include her. Who else?
It's funny that she's gone now. I would actually like that.
Just thought of an idea for a show. Could you imagine a show of like the dinner party thing, and then people had to watch it from afar, your close people, of the five people you would choose to be around and watch it just come burning down.
There's someone that I really like in the space of creating my own fitness program. Two people, I guess, that have done really well is Kayla Itzinez, I think you pronounce the last name. She's done so well for just a girl,
niche, hasn't she?
Just a girl from Adelaide who now has this huge following around the world.
Mm.
She's someone who I've met her briefly. But I think she, just in seeing what she's done,
just pick a brain for your own business.
Exactly. No, but I think, for anyone that can attract that many people that follow them, she's doing really well.
She's doing something, right? Yeah. She's creating something. And it's good. Yeah, it's good to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Being coaches in the industry, we often hear the other side, so many people having opinions of people. But if you just focus on the act of someone creating something on a mass scale, I think that's a special thing.
Exactly. You can pull people apart and go, I don't like how they do this and this and this, but you can't argue that.
Right.
It's just how many million people.
Think about like she's actually doing something positive. She's helping a lot of people. So that's their first step in the fitness game. We all three of us know it's not going to be a long term thing. But it is a great introduction into actual health. And fitness,
hold on. So. Don't put words in my mouth. I love helping people.
No. What I meant to say is Kayla's program. People won't be using it. It's a great introduction for someone.
I don't understand your Australian intent.
In 18 months' time, that they probably should be still doing.
I got you.
Doing,
I see what you're saying.
That progression is a step with.
For those who don't know who Kayla is, Tristan's talking about this lady out of Australia who makes online workout programs, but she has a bigger profile than that. So he means the program isn't a long-term thing, not the intent of what she's doing.
Absolutely, intent's awesome.
And we've got one more, Tim. And then one of the podcasts I love is Tim Ferriss.
I was going to ask you, when you were talking about self-efficacy, I was like, have you read The 4-Hour Workweek?
Yeah.
I put it in my notes. He's a beast.
So I read that, and I like people that think outside of the box.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love, when I listened to it the first time, I actually listened to the audiobook of it, and I'd be running down the beach and listening to it, and I remember, it's funny when you remember when you hear something. I was running along the sand, and I remember, and it was even the first bit where he was talking about how he won the kickboxing because he was the biggest, fittest, best kickboxer or whatever. He read the rule book, and you may not like it, but the rules were, if you get pushed out, I think out of the circle more than three times, you're out. So he stripped down a lot of weight. He used different techniques to strip down weight. So in his weigh-in, he was 10 kilos lighter than what he was when he went into fight. So he said he had the strength and the size just to grab these guys if they didn't kick him first and just push them out. And he just kept grabbing them, pushing them out, grabbing them, pushing them out. Yeah. And the people didn't like it, but he won, supposedly. That's what the book says. So I just like, not that I like that, but you know, if you can read the book again, it's like, sort of like working out the formula. If you know the formula, you can get the result.
Definitely. Yeah, Tim and Arnold together. Arnold's been on his show.
I did hear that. Yep.
Because he's one of my favorites on
it. On Network just picked up a fair show. One of our buddies, what's our dude? No, the big dude, always on Rogan. How am I gonna? Our boy, the actor. Episode.
Boss?
No. Our first episode, he's always on Rogan. The big dude, the big prison actor, been on Breaking Bad.
Oh, tight.
Yeah, so Fletcher posted, he's boys with Tim. Big network in America just picked up a Ferris reality show. It's probably going to be similar to him traveling. He calls himself a human guinea pig. Yeah. You ever hear him speak about nootropics and cognitive mental enhancers?
No.
Do you know anything about that? Modafinil?
No.
The limitless pill? No? You need to start good.
I know, he used to have
Ferris used it for a while.
Didn't he used to have brain, he called it brain something? He had a pill that he
used to do. Yeah, so it's called Modafinil, and it's legal, and it's been around for like 25 years in like these circle networks of Branson, Jobs, and what it allows you to do is just access different parts of your wiring, your brain, so your full potential. Yep. The guy Dave Asbury, Bulletproof Coffee, billionaire, has been on the news saying he's taken it for like 8 years.
Yeah.
But Google it, guys. I don't recommend it. Google Modafinil. But
that's one of the Ferris things, I missed out on my breakfast. I've actually been playing around with ketones.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you your opinion on ketogenic diets.
Yeah, not full ketogenic diet, but I've been implementing ketones in the morning. And basically, not full keto. But I did have dessert last night. But yeah, just playing around with that, and we'll see how it goes.
Excellent, man. Tim, we really appreciate your time in letting us in here and do this interview.
Definitely. Just before we go, where can the people find you both online and on social media?
Yep, so the website, therobardsmethod.com. That's therobardsmethod.com. And I'm Mr. Tim Robards on social media and at therobardsmethod.
And Tim, we really appreciate you hosting us and joining us in your home, and I'm sure we'll chat again.
Excellent. Have a good day, guys. Have a good day, Tim. Thanks, man.
Cheers. Thanks.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up. Johnny Tim Robards. What?
A lot of different layers to this young man.
Yeah. When you walk in, he's quite a stature, isn't he? Like,
yeah, big dude.
I didn't expect him to be that big in real life, but
yeah, he has a presence about him. Good-looking dude, smart dude, driven. It was really good to hear his insight, share some stories about what it was like off camera on the show on The Bachelor.
I think it's great that, you know, when you think about how his actual physique, you know, when you think about the type of training that he does, generally you probably wouldn't think that he would be the actual size that he is. But, you know, obviously his training, and I think that's something that people need to, you got to find what works for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he found what works for him, and now he's spreading the message, and people can find out if that's what works for them.
Yeah, his methodology on his nutrition is pretty interesting. I've read about it, but I never heard about it.
The fasting, man.
Yeah, the fasting, and also like the taking, being able to compartmentalize and tell yourself that you don't have to eat 100% healthy every day, all day. You could have a little bit of breaks, but you could also do it with a system, a plan of attack, as does he, and obviously it's working. With his framework, though, how he's wired, he's really intrinsic. He's one of these guys that is always wanting to learn and wanting to help people. I think it's all connected. I think if you can align those dots, your mind, your body, what you're giving back to the world, things are going to start, not to say that everyone's going to, you do that and you'll look like the model, the, you know, celebrity, which is Tim Robards,
yeah.
But, you know, it'll help lead to your fulfillment and, you know, you'll exude a certain type of energy out there, which will then attract a certain type of person into your life. And I think he's a pretty good testament of that.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's got his life handled pretty well right now. When you think, I like people that wear kind of different sort of hats to keep themselves fulfilled. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, you know, he does what he wants in the morning in terms of looking after himself.
Yeah, he was at yoga when we got there.
Yeah, then he looks after people during the day. He also has to think about, you know, he's got his Robards method,
his online presence,
and then he's got his modeling as well. Like, he's got quite a few different boats.
He's always going to these events. I think the ARIA Awards are just come and gone in Sydney, and he was, you know, featured there. He's, you know, like we said in the intro and we talked about on the show, he was on the cover of, you know, one of the really most popular fitness magazines internationally. So he has, there's demands, and with demands comes a duty.
Yeah, and I think I love when people are famous and they're doing something good with it.
For sure, rather than just sitting there or like talking about what you wore to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, this dude's hustling. As we were leaving, getting into our vehicle to leave, he drives past us on his bike, you know, in workout gear, and I checked out his story later. He was going to teach, you know, coach in a park, you know, he has clients, and he does so many different things. And I think that you don't get to hear that story when you're on TV.
Yeah.
You know, like,
people think it's just easy, it's been given to you and you don't have to work for it. But
we've learned that a lot.
Behind the scenes, there's some really hardworking people, and Tim's one of them.
Last night I was talking with Alex and Vanessa, shout out America Top Team, Coconut Creek, Florida, but about Bruce Buffer and how, you know, Bruce was always one of my childhood heroes, and his brother Michael, I always wanted to be an announcer. And I kind of always in the back of my head thought, man, how does Bruce really survive? What's his subsistence like just doing these announcing gigs? And then we get him on the show and we talk to him and you're like, dude, this guy's been running businesses since he was 16. He was literally selling seashells by the seashore to make money. And then he started another business at 18. And you know what I mean? It's all about what we see on the forefront. There's always a path that's filled with a lot of determination, a lot of risk-taking.
Yeah. People don't realize that path, do they, sometimes? They think that it's just been spoon-fed. Well, there is some people that didn't, but the majority, especially the people
we don't talk to the people who've been spoon-fed. Yeah, the Vision Board's subtitled show should be...
No silver spoons.
Or the path, you know, because we really showcase and highlight the path of the guests that we bring on. Everyone that we've interviewed, 80... Man, I'm going to drop an F-bomb. 80 fucking episodes, dude. 80. Think about that. That's a big number. And to think that we started this with an idea, you and I... And now we get the opportunity to share space with people who are living their dreams. Like, that's very important here. I think that it's not to be undersold or underappreciated that, you know, when you're really going for it and the stars start to align and you're putting that energy out there and you start getting people, what begins to happen is people will start helping you and then someone will take a risk on you and invest in you. And that's when you start seeing that momentum that you've created over the years of hard work that no one even knew your name starts to pay off.
Yeah, I think, you know, you make a good point about, you know, surrounding yourself with good people. I think that's maybe one of the points you're just trying to get across is, you know, even if you just speak to someone for an hour like we do, it's going to rub off on you, and you do it that many times, like we've done it 80 times now. I feel that, you know, we've both grown as people over the last 12 months because of that aspect, because of the fact that we're talking to people that we're inspired to be like.
Yeah.
And we're both open to learning. So
my mental framework is 100% different from where it was in episode one and where it was before I met you and where it was even 6 months ago before June.
Yeah.
My path started with my own personal journey with development, listening to my own podcasts, such as like Joe Rogan was huge for me. You know, at the time when I started listening to Joe, I had never heard a alpha macho dude speak about being kind to each other and about how to treat each other. And that's what helped me. And I know that if we could even come close to scratching the surface and to getting through to one person, one dude out there, one boy, one girl, and help them with their framework and be like, oh, shit, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And then they could use that. Man, I think that's special.
Yeah, it has to be one person.
That's all it does, for sure. I remember just looking at, you know, our emails or people that say they listen, and it's – when I looked at the number, like my one goal number, for instance, when we started, was like, man, if we could just get to 20 downloads, I'd be stoked. If we could get to 50, I'd be stoked. That sort of thing.
Definitely.
And now that framework is way different.
Yeah.
That, and that has carryover effects with everything.
Yeah. And now it's just exciting, just bringing more and more people on and getting to connect with them. And
dude, your email, yeah. Tristan, guys, we've got, you've been hustling, boy. Tell them about it.
Yeah, okay. So the next guest we've got on is Steve Willis, a.k.a. Commando. So
Commando Steve.
Commando Steve. So for the American audience, Steve is one of the trainers in The Biggest Loser here in Australia. His partner, Michelle Bridges, is also a trainer. And
they're probably celebrities, right?
They probably make up the fittest couple in the world.
Probably.
When you think.
Yeah, no exaggeration. Steve was special ops. He was special ops in the Australian military.
So it's going to be great to pick his brain in both sides of like where he was and where he is now.
Where he wants to go. Yeah. You know, adversity. Talk a little bit about, did he ever... I can't wait to have that interview. We're going to be doing Commando Steve live in person next week, next Wednesday. But
we've got some huge weeks. We've got Lewis House coming in on Friday. Lewis is someone I've been looking up for a long time.
Lewis is a fellow Buckeye. You know, he went to Ohio State. He's an Olympian. If you guys don't know, he was the original LinkedIn guy. He was doing business workshops and webinars from LinkedIn infancy.
School of Greatness.
Check his book out, School of Greatness.
His podcast.
His podcast is one of the most downloaded podcasts in the world.
One I look forward to every kind of... Thursday, what day because of the time difference? It's Thursday.
PR Friday.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, it comes out.
So he does. See, he's hustling.
Yeah. And it's brilliant.
And we first reached out to his people, and I think we thought we were ready in June or July. And then, you know, they didn't give us a no, and they're, you know, he had the summit going on. And reached back to us in October, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it'll be better because we'll give him a better interview now.
Oh, so. For sure. We're definitely. Man. I look back at our first 40 episodes. Last night I did a recap of one we did on episode 52 with Elliot. And even that one, even though that's our most downloaded episode, I feel if we could get Elliot again, it would be different.
Oh, definitely.
We did Gary at 42 episodes. Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk. Again, we had no business interviewing Gary V at episode 42. 42.
And we had Jonathan Thurston at 41.
Yeah.
Some huge guys.
But, yeah, that was just us being fearless.
Yeah, for the wrestling fans out there, we've got Diamond Dallas Page DDP. On as well next week. Yeah. Me and my brother used to do a lot of diamond cutters on each other.
Tony Hinchcliffe is a huge... shout out to our boy Tony, doing his thing in L.A.
Hey, Tony.
Comic. Check his Netflix special out. I'll plug it for him. One Shot. But he has a podcast, too.
What's his podcast called?
The famous one is called the Kill Tony Podcast. But but he also has one on the side. It's about wrestling. So I just messaged Tony. Hopefully, you know, he'll send me a couple questions. Ask DDP. He probably knows the dude.
Yeah, he probably does. He says he rings out with Snoop now.
Yeah, for real. Tony fucking he messed around and got famous. So shout out to Hinchcliffe, brother.
Great work, brother.
Yep.
All right, guys, just before we go, just remember to check out your supplements at On It. So check it out. We've got a page dedicated to it. It's the tab On It or www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/On It. Vision board code is
man. Yeah, use
I just gave it away.
Yeah, for sure. TK now. So when you're buying your supplements off of our page for On It, the On It products, the Shroom Tech, the Alpha Brain, so you're not paying full price, use keyword vision board to receive 10% off. The On It sponsor for us is, man, it means a lot to me. I can't even put it into words without sounding cheesy because it was one of these things that I was just taking as a consumer 5 years ago. Just subconsciously, I wanted to be part of like the whole Rogan thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was his business.
I guess it's sometimes where the influence starts. Everyone has that kind of influence that goes, you know, you want to be like him.
Yeah. But then I want to man, forget that. I want to do my own.
Yeah.
I want to have him on the show. But now to see that they're backing us and it's a cool thing. So when you use keyword vision board to represent.
Yeah, 10% off, guys. So check out the supplements. Also, get your ebook, free ebook online. If you want to get those abs popping for summer, for winter, for sports, whatever, you've got this... We've got a little schedule that me and Johnny use on a weekly basis. We get those ripped abs. Got that meal plan on there as well. It's a free download, so check it out. It's on the homepage, also on the tab /ebook. So, guys, free download and, you know, grab it now.
Abs start in the kitchen, guys. We love the support. Remember to follow us on social media, Johnny Stofko on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Tristan Cannell at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. And the Vision Board Podcast on Facebook and Twitter as well. Sign up, join the cause. How are they going to join? Unsubscribe if they haven't already.
Yeah. Again, guys, just go on the homepage, leave your email, and you'll get the free ebook anyway, and then you'll stay up to date with everything the Vision Board Podcast is doing. Guys, and also a big shout out for everyone that's, you know, writing in, sending us quick, you know, words of, you know, support.
Encouragement, man. That shit's huge. That.
So, guys, either on Facebook or send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Feedback. Guests, who do you want to see on? We love that shit. So
yeah, that's the good thing. I like it. I like getting the feedback of who we should get on. And Somebody sent me, oh, shout out Christian Lombardo. I get a message yesterday. He knows I'm a Buckeye fan just from some of my posts. He's like, Johnny, why don't you get an Ohio State Buckeye? I had to let him know, man, NCAA football regulations, you can't be interviewed. Not during season. But I'm not even we almost had Ezekiel Elliott last year, man. I'm fucking pissed because Zeke is going to be NFL Rookie of the Year. He's leading all rookies.
What a season, eh?
Yeah, and I went to the message box yesterday on Instagram, and it was right before the NFL draft last March. And we never were able to hammer a date down. Now he's a superstar.
Wow. He's on pace.
Zeke.
I just...
The way he plays the game,
I hope he does it every year. If he does it every year, he'll be the greatest
running back of all time. Out of the Ohio State University. Hero in a half shirt. The thing about Zeke, though, is you can tell he still plays the game having fun. Yeah. And that's the important thing with anything. Like, guys, is if you're going to work, man, you got to make sure you're having fun. If you're helping people, you got to have fun. And if you're not, you got to, you know, fix that wiring, reconfigure some things.
There must be something those two young kids are doing off the field, though, to... For Dallas to go from an average team to the best team in the NFL.
Dak Prescott? Yeah. Well, you know, it's momentum too, though. I think if you got two young guys who are talented, who believe in themselves, who are also friends, look what happened in Cleveland last year with the Cavs. With those young guys, they rally around that shit because good energy is addictive.
Where did Prescott play his ball?
I think Dak played some A&M. I think he went to Texas A&M, Auburn. I'm really suspect on the SEC and Big 12. But I think A&M.
But he's an amazing player as well.
Yeah, I'm see.
Was Elliott this good in college?
Hell yeah, he was. He won us a national title.
No, man, but you see the dominance that he does on the field. Was that the same in the college?
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Yeah,
all the Buckeye fans will tell you that. Look at
this. Where was he drafted?
First round.
Because running backs generally don't go in the top 10 because they can kind of be produced again, right?
In the running back, the shelf life of an NFL running back, guys, Google this stat. It's crazy. I think it's 3 years.
Yeah.
It's something crazy like that. So it is a big risk to take a running back.
That, like, you know, obviously Emmitt Smith's at the moment one of the greatest of all times. Yeah. That longevity of his career.
Yeah, man, he played the game forever. I think he's still playing. But he's 72 years old.
It seems that the running backs, when you think that 2 years ago, Arian Foster, no one touched him.
Yeah.
The year before that, you know, there's always just one that just...
Adrian Peterson at one time.
Barry Johnson was... running back
for one year.
And then
he's done, man. That window is so small. And I think that reminds me of like what Connor's doing in the MMA. It's very similar how he's been able to leverage and understand and have an awareness that shit, man, my clock is ticking, so let me make the most of it and try to promote myself. But yeah, that's a good point about the NFL running back. And I think anybody's career, though, you have to live with a little bit of urgency. You can't go through these motions of life and think that you'll have tomorrow. And I think the ones who succeed and the ones we know their names and everyone talks about are the ones, the common denominator, live their life with urgency.
Yeah, I agree. Johnny, pleasure.
Yeah, man, that was fun.
Got a big week next week, so it's
been a big year.
Smash it out again.
All right, brother. Peace.
See ya.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days. And, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts. So just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.